the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Ciao, Penguin Radio listeners. This is DJ Amore, and welcome to another exciting show on the Travel Diaries. I'm here at Penguin Radio every Wednesday, live from 5 to 6 p.m. Each week on my show, I talk about my trips through Europe and tell stories of my experience traveling as a study abroad student last semester, as well as some tips and fun facts for those of you who want to travel the world. This is my second to last show before I must say arrivederci forever. On that note, I have a great show for y'all today. So just a quick recap. Last week on my show, I talked about my once-in-a-lifetime trip to Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Amsterdam is just one of those iconic European cities that everyone knows about. I have always wanted to go visit, and the fact that I was able to was amazing. It was a really good time. I traveled from Milan with my friend Angela. Hey, girl. And we stayed there for 3 days over a weekend. We did everything that there was to do. We visited the Anne Frank House Museum, which was something that is kind of like a lifetime thing. Like, you got to go see it. It's a must see. We were there. We waited in line for 2 hours. That, you know, iconically known 2-hour wait to get into the museum, and then we were even inside for 2 hours, and it's not a very big house, but there's just so much to see, and you just feel the emotions in every single room that you're there for that long. We also took a canal cruise through one of, you know, all the canals of Amsterdam, which they're also very well known for. Ate pancakes each day, because again, it's another staple food in Amsterdam. Went to see one of my favorite bands live in concert, 1975. I played some songs of theirs on my last show. They're a really great band. You should check them out. And had a fun time in the original Heineken factory, Heineken the beer. And in Amsterdam, the factory is also like an experience called the Heineken Factory Experience Tour. And we went kind of late, so we didn't get to see the whole thing, and we had to go kind of quickly, but it was still really awesome, and, you know, you get free samples of their beer, and I can now say that I'm definitely a Heineken girl. I love Heineken beer. It's really good tasting. I would recommend that Amsterdam and all of these amazing things that we did be added to your travel bucket list. You should definitely have a travel bucket list. I'm sure most people have bucket lists in general, but travel bucket list needs to be a thing. It'll be probably super long once you get done listening to my shows and looking up places you want to travel to. If you missed this show last week and would like to hear it, check it out on radio.dominican.edu on my Travel Diaries page. For today's show, I'm going to be traveling back to my trip to Berlin, Germany. This trip was a complicated one to plan. Let me just start with that. I actually went on this trip all alone. I was by myself. Some of my previous trips, I would have traveled alone and then met up with some of my friends. But this time around, I was all on my own going to Berlin. Now, I made that decision because I really, really wanted to go to Berlin. And most of my friends in Milan that I had met had either already been to Berlin or going somewhere else the weekend that I wanted to go. It was really one of the only weekends I had available anyway, towards the end of my trip abroad. So what I did was I was planning this trip with another friend of mine who actually goes to this school. I'm not going to say who it is, but she does go to Dominican as well. And she went to the same Italian school as me last semester. Love her to death. She is so sweet. But unfortunately, her and I couldn't make it happen. We just had completely different schedules. But I was really determined to go to Berlin. So I just planned it. I decided, even though it's been complicated and we had started, thinking about going a month before I actually was going to go, and it kind of came down to like a last minute thing, I just had to make it happen. I really, really wanted to go to Berlin. So I planned my weekend trip, bought my plane ticket, and, you know, made it a reality. I just want to give a tip real quick. Don't be scared to travel alone. It's a very liberating and even free feeling to have while traveling. You don't have to worry about anyone else except yourself, and you can have complete focus on all the things you want to do and see. It really helped me grow as a person and take more risks, most of which have been beneficial to my life. I really wasn't a risk taker before going abroad, and I think actually going abroad was the biggest risk I've taken. It was like all new to me. I don't like the unexpected, like most people. That's just life, you know, nothing, you don't know what to expect next. But that was my biggest thing for me, was getting over that fear and that emotion of doing something alone. And every situation, it worked out pretty well for me, and I feel like in general it works out for most people pretty well. Just taking the chance and doing something on your own, that big, like that deciding, is the first step, and it's always a really good time. And with the whole complicated planning, that's definitely going to happen while you're abroad. It's going to be complicated every single time, just because of trying to plan it with different people and like where you want to go and what your schedules are looking like that week and how you want to go about doing it and the things you want to go see, especially. I mean, over Berlin, there was not as many things I wanted to do as other places I had gone to, but definitely specific certain things that I'll talk about later on in the show. And, you know, just the thought for me of not getting to go because I couldn't find someone to go with me was kind of depressing. I convinced myself that I went abroad. I went to Milan to travel and to, you know, also continue my schooling, because I was going there as a student and I did have Italian classes while I was at Cattolica University I was staying at. But also to see stuff that I hadn't seen before. And I had never been to Berlin. Pretty much I hadn't been anywhere I went to while I was abroad. And it was on my list of places to go, not at the very top, but, you know, it was on there. And it made me sad, the thought of not getting to go. I was looking forward to it for a long time when I had been planning it with my friend before that. And, you know, it was a really big bummer when she decided that she couldn't go with me. And I almost decided not to go at all and just do something else. But then I realized that there are things there that I really, really just needed to see. I needed to see them, you know, like lifelong ambitions. I know I'm only like, what, 22? But still, like, these are things I've thought about for a long time, at least 2 decades, decade and a half maybe. You know, and also things that I never thought I'd actually get to do while I was abroad, or while I even got to go abroad. So I took the opportunity and I made it happen. And I just want to tell you, all you listeners out there, don't be afraid to go travel alone. I have a best friend. Shout out to Bellary, love you girl, love her to death, but she was talking about when she was going to London that she was afraid that she, you know, to go by herself. And, you know, I kind of talked to her a little bit about it, and I completely understand, like, from her viewpoint and from anybody else's viewpoint that would be afraid of taking those chances. Believe me, I was too. But since I had done it, I could tell her honestly and truthfully, because that's how I am, that it's okay. And, you know, there are things that will happen that can be kind of scary, but if you're the kind of person that is problem solving, you know, have problem solving skills, you'll be fine. It honestly is just such an amazing experience. You don't really think about going places by yourself because you know, like, well, that doesn't seem as much fun. Like, you're not with your friends. You don't have someone to talk to. It was definitely strange eating by myself when I was out at restaurants when I was there. But at the same time, also kind of nice just to have, you know, a nice quiet meal to myself and think about all the things I got to do that day and just things like that. Things that you will think about having to do without someone can honestly be a really nice experience and just something that I think everyone should try to do. So, yeah, that's what I got from that trip. And that was my first trip going by myself. I did take one more by myself. If you haven't been able to tell yet, I was very determined to go to the places I had been planning on going before I had left California to go to Milan. So I did the best I could. I went to the most places I possibly could, you know, within my budget and within my time limits of my classes and my schedule. But Berlin was definitely one of those ones that I always wanted to do, and I got the chance. A fun fact for you real quick. Berlin is the capital of Germany and dates back to the 13th century. It has a current population of approximately 3.6 million people. And to add on to that, when I went on a tour in Berlin, I was told that that's not even half of how many people were living there before World War II. The population before World War II was mostly Jewish, and after World War II, they only have about a 1.3% left population of Jewish people in Germany. The rest are, you know, German descent and other kinds of nationalities mixed up. And I thought that was kind of depressing to hear, obviously, the whole story behind World War II and their concentration camps and all of that. But it's just strange to me and also kind of interesting to learn that 3.6 million people live there. That's a lot of people. But the city of Berlin is so large, just like the town and where it is in Germany is so massive. It can fit two times that size of people, and it doesn't because of the war. And even though it doesn't seem, you know, it seems like it was a long time ago, to them it really wasn't that long ago, and they're still recovering their population. I'll get back to Berlin and all my happenings there right after this short break. I'm DJ Amore, telling you to get up and go explore, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Hey there, penguins! You're listening to the Travel Diaries. That was Como la Flor by Selena. She was such an icon to me when I was little, and still is today. And she had such an amazing voice and energy, and you could hear it in each one of her songs if you just did listening. This past weekend was Halloween, ooh, and I dressed up as Selena herself. I was really excited about it, and I had a great time being like her for a day. I just wanted to share that and hope you all also had a fabulous and safe Halloween. I also want to add good luck out there to all my fellow students feeling the pressure here in week 11 of the semester. We'll pull through this. I'm DJ Amore, and this is Penguin Radio. Before the break, I was talking about my visit to Amsterdam in the Netherlands with my friend Angela. And about my beginning story to how I went to Berlin and how I went alone. For those of you just tuning in, my advice with traveling alone is to just do it. It's a great experience and, in my opinion, helps you grow as a person. So back to Berlin. Once I decided I was going to go by myself, I booked my flight for super early in the morning. I only had 2 days there, so I left on the day, the first day. I think it was a Saturday I left. I had class that Friday before. So I left early on Saturday morning, and I booked a train for 5 o'clock in the morning. It was like the train left at 5:15, and it went directly to the airport I had to go to from Milan, or in Milan. So I had to get up at 4 in the morning to like get ready, get my stuff all together, and then get into a taxi and get to the train station. And once I got there, it was like 5:15, getting on the train. It takes me to the airport, and my flight was leaving at 7 a.m. So once I got to the airport, got on my flight, and it was smooth sailing from there. I believe I took Ryanair that time. It's like one of the smaller airlines, good to use, cheap flights. Ryanair and EasyJet, I think, were the two main airlines I took when I was in Europe traveling different places. But there's tons of other ones also. And once I landed in Berlin, that was when I had a little bit of panic attack because I was by myself, so I had to figure everything out by myself. It's another thing, too, about being alone is it's not the end of the world not having someone with you. You will figure out where you're going and all that, but it also is pretty nice to have someone else with you to help you with directions and where you're going. You know, I completely understand that. But in this case, calmed down a little bit, got off the plane, walked around the terminal, went to an information desk, got a map, and then was asking, you know, how do I get to my hotel from here? I'm pretty sure it's an airport hotel. It was near the airport, and I was right. And there was actually a shuttle bus for me. In one of my last shows, I think it was when I was talking about Amsterdam, my friend and I stayed in Ibis Hotel Airport. Well, I ended up doing the same thing when I was in Berlin. Ibis is a really good hotel chain in Europe with pretty good prices. And there was a shuttle bus for the hotel at the airport I was landing in Berlin. So unfortunately, I had to wait a really long time. I think I was waiting outside in the cold for like an hour and a half. It was kind of crazy. And weird to me, too, because it didn't follow the chime schedule on the list for the pickup site. And also, I was told that it would be there quickly, and it took like 45 minutes. It was crazy. But anyways, the bus took me to the hotel. It was pretty good. Once I checked in with the front desk staff, I asked for more maps and tour guides and stuff of Berlin. And then the best ways to get around, like what's the best transportation, because I was actually outside of the main city of Berlin. I was a little bit on the outskirts where the airport was. And it was a 45-minute train ride to actually get into central Berlin, which was kind of sucky, but at the same time, it worked out fine. And there was like a train station. It was actually a metro station, but above ground metro station, so like a train, but not their actual train system in Berlin. And it was a 10-minute walk from my hotel, so I just walked along the track to get onto the train. And it took me, I think it was like 15 stops into Alexanderplatz, which is in the main city of Berlin. It's about, like I said, a 45-minute train ride to get to Alexanderplatz, which is one of the larger public squares and transport hubs. And right next to the Fürstentum, I don't know if I'm saying that right. I tried to pronounce it correctly. And also the Museum Islands of Berlin, which is part of the reason why I wanted to go there. Fun fact, the Fürstentum is a television tower in central Berlin. It looks like the Space Needle in Washington, in my opinion, and you can take tours of it. So that's not one of the things I did, but I did know that you could buy a ticket to go up to the very top. And it's kind of interesting. You could just, you know, see the view of all of Berlin from up there, but not something that I did. I'd recommend it anyway, though, for those of you who want to go to Berlin. Another reason why I wanted to go to Alexanderplatz in general, because there were different kinds of squares that the trains and the subway and all that would take you when you got into the main part of Berlin. But Alexanderplatz is just really well known. It's because it's one of the larger public squares and all the things around it. So when I got there on the train and found out how to get out of the train station and into the square, it was about lunchtime and I was pretty hungry. I hadn't eaten since that morning I left. So I got some lunch, and I don't know why I did this, but I got Italian for lunch. Don't ask me why. I honestly didn't think about it until I had it, and then I ate some and it was disgusting. And I realized, okay, don't eat other kinds of foods while you're in Berlin. Eat German food and stick to that. So that's what I did after my Italian lunch, which was not very good, especially since I was living in Italy and I know what is good. Also, this was one of the other places I went that actually had a Starbucks, which I found baffling. For those of you who know me out there, I love Starbucks, and I also love collecting coffee mugs. So one of the things I did to restrain myself from buying a ton of different kinds of coffee mugs, I only bought coffee mugs from Starbucks's. Or unless I went somewhere that didn't have a Starbucks and I had to find a different kind of coffee cup. So I pretty much have one kind of coffee cup for every place that I went to when I was abroad last semester. I don't know why I like collecting coffee mugs. They're just something I do. Anyway, I found one in Berlin, so I got that. It was pretty great to find it. I hadn't had Starbucks since I think I was in Barcelona, so that was nice. And then after that, I walked over to Museum Island to see the bust of Queen Nefertiti. Fun fact for you, Museum Island is the name of the northern half of an island in the Spree River in Central District of Berlin. It houses five museums, all showing numerous amounts of unique exhibits. It is the biggest collection of museums in the same area in all of Europe. I wanted to go to this island of museums because I heard that you could get discount tickets as a student and also that you can go to all five of them. But even though I attempted to do so, I didn't have the time. It was kind of later in the day after I was doing all my walking around Alexanderplatz and doing all my sightseeing. I also wanted to do some other things after this. So I went just straight to the one museum I was there to go to. It's called the News Museum. Again, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but I'm trying. It's spelled N-E-U-E-S. One of the nicer museums on the outside. I honestly can't say anything about the inside of the other four because I didn't get to go. But the outside of the fourth one, the one that I went to, is really nice. For those of you who do not know what the bust of Nefertiti is, let me just tell you real quick. It is 3,300 years old, painted stucco-coated limestone bust of Nefertiti, the great royal wife of the Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten, the stepmother to Akhenaten's son King Tut. Hopefully all of you out there know who King Tut is. Come on, man. King Tutankhamun, whose coffin was found made out of pure gold. Good stuff. It was discovered in 1912 by German archaeologist Ludwig Braunschart and has been kept at various locations in Germany ever since. It is currently on display at the News Museum in Berlin, which is why I was there. Let me be telling you right now, the main reason, I'm being so serious, the main reason I wanted to go to Berlin, besides just being in Berlin, was to see this. I love Egyptian everything. The way they live their lives, their artifacts, the pyramids and their hieroglyphs and the language and how they dress and their looks and all the pharaohs and all the mummification process. I'm just really into it. I'm such a nerd about Egyptian everything. And when I was in Milan, I looked up where this bust was. I thought it had always been in the British Museum of Archaeology, but it actually ended up being in Berlin in this museum. And I realized that was because of the architect who found it in 1912. He was German, so it stayed with him until he died, and then it was given to the museums. And I think the part of the reason why I enjoy this so much is because of my mom. Shout out to my mom. Love you so much. It's really her that got me into that stuff when I was little. I've loved learning about those things when I was little. Mostly about the mummy things. Like, just the way they did that was so interesting to me. But then when I watched a documentary with my mom about Queen Nefertiti and her just mystery, it was really interesting. And she's like, you know, something that of an icon that I honestly love talking about and like love looking at and like thinking and knowing her whole story. So the fact that I got to go see this actual, you know, piece of art of her face in person, I was in shock. I had always wanted to do that, and the fact that I got to this past year, literally I can't imagine. I can't even believe I got to do that. And it was just it's so beautiful. I honestly have no words right now. It was beautiful to see. And I wish out of the things I had done that my mom could have been there with me because of how much we enjoy that together. I couldn't even take pictures of it to show her. I had to sneak it. There were security guards in the area where she was. It's the most treasured piece of art in that entire museum, so I understand why. It was just kind of depressing because I didn't know that I couldn't take photos. So the photos that I do have aren't the greatest, but I'm a bad person and I really wanted a photo. I came all that way, you know? Like, I'm going to get a photo. Try the hardest I can anyway. So what I have is not the greatest, but still I have some. And it was crazy to me because I was in that exhibit, and the exhibit where she is just her. Like, there's all these Egyptian other artifacts around her area, but in the room that she's in, it's literally just the bust of her, and that's it. And like three security guards watching you to make sure you're not taking pictures. I was in there for like 2.5 hours. I'm pretty sure the security guards were starting to think that I was a suspicious character because I wasn't leaving. I would look at her every other direction, like sideways, back, profile. It was just amazing to see the faded paint and like the chips, but all the vibrant colors and the way her face was sculpted, and just thinking if that's actually what she looked like in person, she was beautiful. And just her story of being an Egyptian queen and married to one of the most well-known pharaohs for changing his religion and the whole entire Egyptian culture after he became pharaoh. And then the biggest mystery is how she died. They've never found her mummy. They don't know what happened to Queen Nefertiti. They just know who she is because of this bust and some other smaller artifacts found in Pharaoh Akhenaten's tomb. And it's just the biggest mystery. They don't know what happened to her, where her body is. They actually think that she might have ruled Egypt after her husband died as a pharaoh. So pretended to be a man to be in power. And I think that is one of the things that draws me so much to her. It's like she's portrayed to be a powerful woman even back then in the Egyptian era. And I've just always been so interested in that. And it was amazing to see. And I'm telling y'all, go see it. If you don't know what it was, now you do. There you go. Watch the documentary about King Tut and about Queen Nefertiti. It's good times. I'm going to play some travel tunes for you now, and we'll be right back. I'm DJ Amore, telling you to get up and go explore. And you're listening to Penguin Radio.
One, two, three.
And we're back on Penguin Radio. If you're listening to the Travel Diaries, this is DJ Amore. And that last song was Classic by The Knox. Before the break, I was talking about my first day in Berlin all by my onesie. Yes, I know that's not a word, but I enjoy saying it. For those of you just tuning in, I'm going to continue on with that story of day one and two in Berlin. Day one, I started with finding my hotel and traveling to Berlin's city center, going to see the museum islands and the bust of Queen Nefertiti. It then continued on after with more walking around and finding an original Birkenstock store. Fun fact for you guys, Birkenstocks are really comfortable and unique sandals that originate from Germany and are still made in Germany. So, of course, I am aware of Birkenstocks. They're kind of a thing in California, especially like in the Bay Area and like Southern California. Not everyone enjoys them. I am one of the people that do enjoy them. They are very comfortable. I actually like the way they look. I've had some people tell me like I'm wearing old people's shoes. I don't really know what that means, but I enjoy them. And of course, so I stopped in one of the original Birkenstock stores in Germany. It's like the first one I saw walking around, and I always had a panic attack. It was so awesome to just find one and like go and get to go inside in person and see all these different kinds of styles of Birkenstocks. So I ended up buying what is now my favorite pair of sandals. They're amazing. They have black straps. There's three of them with their little buckles, and they're well known for their leather, like their leather, authentic leather and cork for the shoes. And it was also cool because the ones that I had bought were actually cheaper than what I paid for them for back home. I only had one other pair that I had bought from home. They're just red classic Birkenstocks with two straps, and those were almost $100. Yeah, that's right. You heard that correctly. I spent $100 on a pair of Birkenstock sandals, and I don't regret it. You wouldn't either if you tried them on. These ones, though, I only spent 60 euro, which in American money is probably about maybe $80. That's what it was when I was there. It probably went up a little bit since I've been home. But anyway, still a lot cheaper, and I'm starting to think it might be because of shipping and handling, because since they're made in Germany, all the ones in the United States are from Germany, so they have to get shipped there, and then it costs money, and they just rack up the prices. So I went there firsthand, didn't have to pay shipping and handling, and got a really good pair of sandals. So yeah, I just want to share that real quick. Birkenstocks is awesome. You guys should try some. Another thing I wanted to talk about is I had classic German pork sausage for lunch that day. And this is all after I went through the Alexanderplatz Square and like walking around, and I went to the museum to see Queen Nefertiti's bust. So this is the same day. This is my first day. I had a German pork sausage for lunch, which is a staple food in Germany. And for dinner, after I did some more sightseeing, I went to this really good steakhouse called The Brick. And I wanted to talk about these things because, let me tell you, I had not had steak or any kind of meat like sausage or steak the entire time I had been in Europe. This is about the end of my third month, maybe beginning of my fourth month being in Europe. And I was about to be going home in less than a few weeks when I was in Berlin. I think I only did one or two more trips after this trip. But I hadn't had steak that whole time. I couldn't find it anywhere. In Italy, the meat supply is like prosciutto, which is just another kind of ham. You know, they like, you know, cook a different way. And like chicken and that kind of stuff. Like bolognese, like beef in the sense that it's like for your pasta. But no steak. Couldn't find it anywhere. So I had some when I was in Germany, and it was delicious. It was worth every extra amount of money I paid to be at that fancy restaurant by myself. But it was so good, and I'm glad I did it. And after that, I also had authentic Häagen-Dazs ice cream for dessert. That was fun, too. After dinner, I was just walking around the town center, and I found a Häagen-Dazs ice cream shop, and it was super cute and like really like urban and chic-looking, like modern, and they had all their flavors. Literally every flavor of Häagen-Dazs ice cream, they had it. But, of course, me being me, I'm kind of basic sometimes. I got dulce de leche, which is what I always get. And Häagen-Dazs ice cream is so good. So that was fun. And then after that, I kind of just went back down to Alexanderplatz, going on my train, went home. And it was a nice little train ride, 45 minutes, like I said before, to get to my hotel near the airport. But good times. I had a good first day. And then, of course, I also had my fancy Birkenstock shoes now. The next day, my day two, which was also the last day I was there, I got up super early to catch the metro train down to Alexanderplatz to meet up with a guided tour for the concentration camp in Berlin. It's called Sachsenhausen Concentration Camp. I probably just butchered that pronunciation, but I don't speak German. And another way to say it is called the Sachsenhaus. It was a little outside of Berlin, about an hour and a half train ride, and was primarily used for political prisoners from 1936 to the end of the Third Reich in May 1943 during World War II. I want to shout out again to my mom real quick. She helped me get a ticket for this concentration camp tour last minute while she was back home in California and I was in Berlin. I wanted to go on concentration camp tour, but I didn't realize you had to like buy them ahead of time. So she actually contacted the tour guide and let her, it convinced her to give me a ticket pretty much. So I was the only person, it was just me, and she already had a full tour, but she let me go because it was just me. I didn't have like a bunch of people with me also. So that was nice of her. And she was a really good tour guide. I met up with them in the city of Berlin. Then we all got on the train together to ride to the concentration camp. And I just wanted to go over some things from the concentration camp when I was there. The first thing I noticed was that it was really on the outskirts of Berlin. Like, I could understand how citizens in Berlin during that time wouldn't really have known what was happening there because it was in the middle of nowhere almost. I mean, but then another sad thing I learned was that the citizens who lived in the town near the concentration camp, like right next to it, seriously, like right across the street, knew what was going on but didn't do anything. They couldn't. They were being threatened by the Nazis, that their families and their lives were in danger too if they had said anything to cause a panic in the city. And this went on for years, so many years. And, you know, going there obviously isn't the greatest thing. I mean, I wasn't going for the fun of it. I went just for the experience of the history of it. And it is really sombering. Let me give you a warning real quick before you try and go do this trip. It's sombering. It's sad. You're going to be in there and you're going to see where they had the bunks and the barracks for the all the prisoners and how it was tight quarters and how dirty it was and they didn't take care of them. And, you know, it snows in Germany. It snows in Berlin. So during the winter time, they didn't get big parkas to stay warm. They were in the same thin striped uniform that they have been in the whole entire year. And they worked them to death. It was a work camp, not so much an extermination camp. But they did have a part of the camp where they did kill people. And, it isn't the same as Auschwitz, which is one of the most famous concentration camps for the fact that they did exterminations there of the Jewish people. But it was a work camp. And in my opinion, after learning about them, they're no better. They're the same as extermination camps. The only difference is that they'll work you to death, and that will take years compared to just being in a concentration camp where they kill you right when you get there. Either way, thousands, so many people died. So many Jewish people and people of political power who were against the Nazis were kept in these concentration camps and, you know, killed and were there for years. And just seeing in person was an experience I'll never forget. Let me just say that. I wanted to do it because I knew the history, and my great-grandpa was a prisoner of war during World War II in Germany, so it's just stuff like that I remember learning when I was little about this history of the war, and going to see that in person was crazy, and I definitely recommend that you go do that when you're there, because it's history that, you know, people not that long ago went through, and it's just something you need to see. After I went to the concentration camp, which was actually very big, by the way, let me just put that on the side. They had not that many barracks for the prisoners, but it was really big. Like, it was a bunch of land. And they turned the whole thing into a museum, and it was a good tour. I recommend it. They have tons of tours like that. You can go check out these different concentration camps. They have them in different languages. Like, they have them in English. They have them in Spanish, all that stuff. But I recommend you go. So after I did the tour, it was a really long tour. I was there for about 5 hours. I had to bring lunch, too, because we were there for so long. Once I got back into the city of Berlin, I got on a bus. I did a tour bus. I paid $20. So you got onto a tour bus, and it's called a hop-on, hop-off tour bus. So you can get onto another one while you're going around the city to if you want to stop somewhere, look at something longer, you can just get off the bus you're on, then get onto another one with your ticket. So that's what I did for the end of my day. And I went to the Berlin Wall. We went everywhere. Like, it drove us around all over the city, so I saw all kinds of different monuments, things like that, in Berlin. But what I wanted to see the most was the Berlin Wall. And I saw two different parts of it. I saw where the famous painting is of, I think it's Churchill. And I don't think it's Adolf Hitler. I forget It's another fascist ruler. Although Churchill wasn't fascist, he was just the Prime Minister of England at the time. But it's a pretty well-known painting on the Berlin Wall. So I saw that in person, and then I went to a different part of it that had more of a history and like a little walkthrough of what the Berlin Wall represented and the names of people who had died fighting in the war and on the other sides and families separated, all that stuff. But the Berlin Wall is just one of those other places you really want to go to while you're in Berlin, because it's, again, history right there in your face. I mean, the wall is still there. It's not completely put together. Obviously, they did tear it down. I think it was like in 1989 they took it down finally after being up since like I can't even like 1961. That's almost 20 years longer. It's almost 31 years that it was up, blocking off people from their family. Literally no way to get across it except at the gate where there were soldiers who were there to kill you if you tried to get past them. But it's still there in all of its depression. And I think the cool thing about it now and since the 80s is that people turned it into something of history with their graffiti. There was graffiti art covering every single inch of what was still standing. And it just is honestly something that they can't ever take down because of what it means for the people of Germany. But anyway, when you go to Berlin, I recommend a bus tour. It pretty much is a nice way of just not having to walk that much, and it just takes you around. It really isn't that expensive, and if you do a hop-on, hop-off tour, you can just get onto another bus whenever you want to go back and go to a different part of Berlin, or you can just stay where you are and continue on with your day. I'm going to take a short pause and get back to you with my next segment on transportation around Berlin. I'm DJ Moray, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. After my show today at 6 p.m., tune in to DJ Sadaharu's show and to DJ Royal's show at 7 p.m.
Your mic gon' slow. That's on you. Tryna keep up with a youngin'. Got them pockets on low. That's on you. She came here alone. Shouldn't have let her leave home. That's on you. That's all on you. But that's all on you. Know the check, all on me. Shawty, she in love with the bass. I give it to her all on beat. Let me see you dance in Mayana while I roll up one for insomnia. We gon' be up to Mayana. Wake up in my club clothes, no pajamas. Swear that they writing my style like piranhas. I can't even shop at the mall for designers. I'm still trying to figure out who designed it. I'm trying to make LA the home of the Niners. I'm on. Somebody need to get these niggas paid. I swear they be hating like a job. Back up, ain't far enough. Try to act like it's all of us, but no, that's on you. My day just pop. Your night gon' slow. That's on you. Tryna keep up with a youngin'. Got them pockets on low. That's on you. She came here alone. Shouldn't have let her leave home. That's on you. I pay my dues, don't get it confused. That's all on you. About three, just left out of hoorays. Move A, we just made a Blu-ray. Running from the lady outside selling bouquets. OG, only flower that I want. You could keep that sour in your blunt sheet. Looking for the nose candy, you Willy Wonka. Money don't grow, it feel like I found one tree. Whoa, try and roll, I got one CO. 3.5, do 100 from zero. My year just flashed forward. You still trying to find exposure. The rest on you. My day just pop. Your night gon' slow. That's on you. Tryna keep up with a youngin'. Got them pockets on low. That's on you. She came here alone. Shouldn't have let her leave home. That's on you. I paid my dues. Don't get it confused. It's all on you.
I don't know where your mind at. I don't waste no time, and you gon' get left behind, sir. I don't know where your mind at.
don't waste no time, and you gon' get left behind.
That's on you.
You're back with DJ Amore on Penguin Radio. If you're just tuning in, I was talking about my trip to Berlin. That last song was called That's On You by DJ Kid, for those of you who wanted to know that. To wrap up my show today, I'm going to talk about transportation methods in Berlin. Like every other show I do, I like to end with giving you little fun facts and tips on what you're going to do when you get to these places. So, I talked about before my first segment, my plane ride with Ryanair to Berlin from Milan, and my train ride there in the morning. It's best to take flights in the morning when you don't want to pay for the night before. But, you know, if your schedule doesn't allow it, it's always nice also to go the night before, get, you know, that extra flight in your hotel one more night, and then have the whole next day to go do some stuff. But yeah, when you don't have time to do that, go super early in the morning of the day of, which is what I did. I got there at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I had the whole day to go do my fun stuff. The hotel shuttle bus was another mode of transportation I took. That was pretty nice. I don't think I did that ever anywhere else. But it was nice that my hotel offered that, and I actually was the only person in the bus at the moment when he got there, which was pretty nice. I had the whole place to myself. The driver was very, very kind. He spoke a little bit of English, mostly German. He taught me a few words. I can't share those with you now because I forgot how to say them, but it was nice to have that waiting for me at the airport. Another thing I thought was interesting was about the above-ground metro trains, because I was just saying to them, it's just a train. Like, an above-ground train is a train, you know, not underground metro system trains are called the subway and metro for a reason, because they're underground. It's not the same as a train. Well, they called these above-ground metro trains into the city. So I took a train ride once from my hotel. I walked the 10 minutes, got there pretty good. Got on the train towards the city center of Berlin. And then once I got to about 15 stops, I had to get off and get onto a different train. That took me right into Alexanderplatz's central hub to go to the square right there and go do some fun stuff. That's where I went to get food and where I got my Birkenstocks. And then from there, I walked to the Museum Island. There was a lot of walking going on. I stayed fairly close to things that were in the center of Berlin. Most of the things I did were... The only thing that wasn't was the concentration camp tour. And that was just a train ride with the tour guide outside to the city of Berlin. I'm really glad I wasn't late to that. There was a good chance of me almost being late to that tour. And if that had happened, I probably would not have found them again because it was so complicated getting there, even with a tour guide. So I'm sure I would have gotten lost. And I'm glad that I did that. It was a really good experience. And I think the only other thing was the actual underground metro train around the central city of Berlin. It was one of the larger ones I had seen, and it's vast. It was a vast map of different colors and names in German of all these different trains underground you could take to get throughout the city, which makes sense because Berlin's one of the biggest cities in Europe, and they have a lot of space and they have to have a lot of time to travel. It's actually almost like the United States, in my opinion. And, you know, in my opinion, Berlin knew how to be like Americans, you know, or Americans know how to be like people, German people. I don't really know the difference. But they had the breakfast down, you know, I had eggs and my sausage and had potatoes and pancakes and their Belgian, well, they're not Belgian, that's actually, anyway, waffles. Good food there. Food that I was used to eating back home. So it was nice to have that. And anyway, about the train. I don't know how I got to that. About the train system. Anyway, it was just really, really large and not too confusing. I got it pretty well once I had a map with me. I take maps with me everywhere I was going. I actually kept all of them too. I'm kind of not a hoarder. I just don't like throwing things away that I think have special meaning, and all the maps I had pretty much saved my life. Like, if I didn't have those maps, I wouldn't have known where I was going. So I kept those from every place that I went to. And the metro system there, it really was just really big. And there were different colors for the train lines and different names, but also pretty cool too. Since it's so large, they had the trains on both sides and really big walkways in the middle and all these fancy names for stuff. And it was really simple for me to use and pretty interesting characters on board of the on the metro. But it's just really useful. And another thing I think for that is just the bus tour that I took. I definitely recommend bus tours. Not everywhere you go, because pretty much everywhere you go in Europe, there'll be a bus tour. We have bus tours here in San Francisco, you know, for tourists. You can just go on to the mega bus and, or what's it called? I forget now. Something tour. It's like the same kind of company all over the world, and they give bus tours of places that you're seeing when you're a tourist. And those are all everywhere. Everywhere I went, in Barcelona, in Milan, and other places of Italy, like in Rome, they had it. They had it in Amsterdam. They had it in Germany, in Berlin. They had it in, where else, in Paris. They're everywhere. So I'd pick and choose them. I think I only did it in Berlin, and I think in Amsterdam, and that's it. And those are really good ones, because I didn't know what I was doing. But other places like Paris and London, I kind of knew already ahead of time what I wanted to do, and I didn't have to get on a bus. So, you know, just good old walking. But other than that, it was pretty smooth sailing, and those are the things I'd recommend if you were going to go to Berlin, Germany. To hear more of my travel diaries, tune in at 5 p.m. next Wednesday for my very last travel show on Penguin Radio. Next week, we'll be traveling to the city of London, England, and Lake Como, Italy. This has been DJ Amore on radio.dominican.edu. Arrivederci!
Words in my brain, secretly you love this. Do you even want to go free? Let me in the ring, I'll show you what that big word means.